Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and every god I do.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Leanne Duclos. Leanne is the owner of Oceanside Jams. When did you start canning and cooking? Did you always do that?
Yes, I've always done that with my mom and my dad, and as well as my grandmother. I always remember her canning from when I was a small girl.
What sorts of things did you can together?
When we were younger, we did a lot of like the smoked salmon because we're part Native American. We always had smoked salmon canned. And then we always did, you know, any fruit from the valley we could get, mostly peaches and pears.
Mm-hmm. When did you decide to take this canning and cooking thing to a business level? How many years now?
It's been 4 years officially as a business, but prior to that, I competed a lot at the county and state fairs, and mm-hmm. I was making, you know, 30 and 40 cases of product to enter two jars of a particular item.
Uh-huh.
And I was giving all these extra jars away, and people kept saying, you need to sell it. Uh-huh. It's so good, you need to sell it. So that's really what prompted me, after a couple of years spending, you know, a couple thousand dollars to enter the fair to get like a $300 check back.
Uh-huh.
And that's really how it started.
Then you started making more and more and just kind of eased into the business?
Basically, yes. And since, you know, my family's always had huckleberries around our property as well as near the property, it was kind of a natural thing to start, you know, making more of a business with the huckleberry jam, because that seemed to be a favorite in Humboldt County as well as a family favorite.
Uh-huh.
So I started with the huckleberry jam, and then I went on to the native blackberry jam.
Uh-huh. Well, let's talk about that next, because you make some really interesting native jams. Tell me which types of jams they are.
I make salmonberry jam, the native blackberry jam, salal jelly, thimbleberry jam, and also elderberry uh-huh. jelly and those types.
I've seen thimbleberries, and they're like maybe, you know, you just a couple of them ripe on a plant. I'm just trying to imagine to get enough together to actually make a batch of jam. How do you go about doing that?
It's a lot of stopping along the roadside and picking. If there's only three, I pick three berries. If there's, you know, a couple dozen, I pick them, because they are a seasonal type berry. They don't all get ripe at once.
Uh-huh.
It's almost a daily or every other day occurrence where I'm out there looking for thimbleberries.
Uh-huh.
And it takes a lot of thimbleberries to make one batch of jam. It took us over 2 months last year to gather enough berries for one batch of jam.
And how many jars out of one batch?
We have like 5.5 to 6.
So I want to get on your list for the thimbleberry jam, I think. That's going to be a short list. And then you also make salal jelly,
yes.
Which is interesting to me because salal, to me, if I pick the berries and eat them, they almost have a vegetable flavor, a vegetative flavor. They don't remind me of huckleberries at all and have that sweet flavor to them.
Yeah, they're more on the tart side, and it's almost like a grape, kind of, in a way. There are a lot of skin and a lot of seed, not very much juice inside. So it does take quite a bit of steam canning them or steam juicing them to get much juice out of them. And you often will have to add water to it to get a nice type of juice from it. And it takes quite a bit of salal berries to actually, you know, generate a batch of jelly.
Uh-huh. So that's another one that you don't make very many jars of in a
year. Maybe about 3 batches a year.
Okay. And then let's go from there to the red huckleberry, because that astounds me as well, because they just dot the plant. I mean, they're just really, they're tiny and they're very few.
Yeah. If you Google red huckleberry, it's called the caviar of the jam world, is the red huckleberries. And I was fortunate enough to find a couple different patches in Humboldt County last year that generated enough berries to make a batch of jam. But then again, it took 3 adults almost 3 hours to pick enough berries to make a batch of red huckleberry jam.
Uh-huh. And let's talk about who those 3 adults are, because I know you rope your parents into doing this too.
Yes, they are retired. So, so they joined me in this business. And my mom and dad have always picked berries. My dad's really a tremendous berry picker. He goes from dawn to dusk, that type of berry picker. And he helps me quite a bit.
Yeah, he helps you can as well, right?
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
My mom does as well.
Do you each have your tasks? And I imagine you're the one who kind of orchestrates everything.
Yes, I orchestrate it and execute it. And, you know, I've got them doing exactly what they like to do. If we all do what we like to do, it gets done pretty quickly.
Uh-huh. That makes sense. Now, I know that you pick throughout Humboldt County, and I know you're not going to tell us where you pick because you wouldn't want to give away your secrets, but you've been able to develop some relationships with some property owners and ranchers in the county. How has that kind of come about?
That's come about because they like my product.
Ah.
And it's often a trade-off. They'll get a few jars of jam while I get to pick on their property.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the biggest thing about that is I benefit from it, they benefit from it, and then it's just our relationship developed more and more, and they share with other people in Cumberland County, you know, buy her jam because it's really good. It's from my property, that type of thing. So it's a good word of mouth advertising as well.
Are there any relationships in particular that you've had over a long period of time and just are very special to you?
Everybody's special. Everybody seems like they go out of their way to make sure I can be there and you know, let me know when berries are getting ripe and come up and pick right now. That's great. Or come next week and that type of thing.
It seems like you know everybody in Humboldt County. And even though you haven't lived here for the past,
21 years.
21 yeah. years. But your family has been here and you grew up here and went to school here. So.
Right, exactly. And I graduated from Humboldt State as well. So there's just a lot of, you know, family here. I've been picking huckleberries in this one certain spot all my life because I remember my mother picked there, my grandmother, and as well as my great-grandmother picked there. Uh-huh. And I remember that growing up. So, you know, you develop that relationship with that particular property owner. And I'm sure for generation after generation, we'll be there picking.
That's great. And you do things other than jams. You do some curds and some salsas. Tell me a little bit about those.
Well, I do, you know, curds like lemon curd, lemon lime curd, and now the triple berry curd's kind of gotten onto my product list, as well as bread and butter pickles, some dill pickles, and salsas. And my claim to fame right now is white peach salsa. Uh-huh. Once people try that, they seem to want to buy it by the case.
And that's how some of your customers have developed over time, isn't it? They come in and they say, oh, I'll just try this one jar. And then the next thing you know, you're getting an order.
Exactly. And now I ship all over the U.S. Uh-huh. There are people that try the product, and I actually ship cases of it to folks' homes and businesses throughout the U.S. now.
Uh-huh.
And I got a kind of a steady order for that.
Now, the peach salsa is a big one. What other things do people just go absolutely nuts over?
The lemon curd as well as the huckleberry jam. Red huckleberry jam, when I have it, people try it. You know, now I've got standing orders for it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever get back out in the public on a table type situation in a craft fair because I do have so many orders for it. And I'll probably end up just, you know, producing enough for the orders, just depending on how the weather goes and so forth.
Any other things that people just go nuts over?
They like everything. You know, I have a product line of at least 40 products, and when people start trying the products, they like everything they try, whether it's the orange jelly or the raspberry rhubarb jam, you know, or the root beer jelly or something like that that's awfully different than most people carry. They love it.
Uh-huh. It's nice to have something that's homemade. It does take a lot of effort to produce these things. If anybody out there has ever canned, you know, it's not a simple thing, and it takes some effort and some time and care. Now, how have you developed the market for your jams over the years? Do you do crafts fairs and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I do craft fairs. I've actually been invited to a lot of craft fairs. Once people try my product, they say, oh, you have to be at our event in August, or you have to be at our event in October, that type of thing. So it's a lot of word of mouth, plus the native community. I've been at their health clinics like United Indian Health Services and so forth, and NCIDC and Eureka has really helped promote me throughout the community.
If somebody wants to get your products here locally, where might they find them?
Right now, I only sell at the Lolita Meat Market in Lolita, California. And other than that, it's by telephone or by email. My email is oceansidejams@yahoo.com.
Okay. And then there's one jam. It has an interesting name to it, the Lolita Traffic Jam. And if you have been in Lolita, you know it's a pretty small town. And so how do you have a traffic jam in Lolita?
Well, the Lolita Bakery created that. I don't know if you've ever been to Lolita, but we have a wonderful bakery that has, you know, grind their own grains for their homemade breads and all that wonderful type of products they sell. But almost on any given lunch day there, the inside of the restaurant is full, the outside is full, across the park is full. And it actually creates a traffic jam when people are trying to deliver to the meat market or to the store or do anything else. There is nowhere to park in the little town of Lolita. So I created a Lolita traffic jam by mixing at least 5 different berries in the jam. And it's really nice flavors with blueberries and boysenberries and marionberries and blackberries and strawberries and raspberries.
That sounds great. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking with Leanne Duclos of Oceanside Jams.
Thank you.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, do I?
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.